All right, well, let's finish, shall we? And then it's Acts chapter 15, and we'll pick up a few more verses of it from about verse 30, I think. Right, let's pray anyway. Lord, thank you for your word, and Lord, we just bless you that you've given it to us. Lord, it's not just any old book, it's your book, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless us through it tonight as we share together. See, Lord, what a wonderful God you are, and what poor mortals we are without you, Lord. Just thank you that Jesus, you come to live in our lives to help us and to guide us and bless us. And I thank you, that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. So we just pray your blessings here tonight, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right, well, I want to read from verse 32, in fact, yes. Judas and Silas.
32.
Verse 32 of chapter 15.
Right. 15 or 13?
Chapter 15. Chapter 15. Now then, we'll get the right chapter first of all. But I want to just do a little test on you. What does your verse 34 say in chapter 15?
There isn't one.
There isn't one.
Yeah,
there isn't
one.
There isn't British. You've got King James, have you?
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll come to that in a moment. Right. Yes. About Silas. It's about Silas, yes. Okay, well, we just come. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. This is in Antioch, by the way. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. Then verse 34 is missing in the NIV, but there's a little marginal note that says at the bottom, some manuscripts say, but Silas decided to remain there. Right, okay.
I've got that.
You've got that. Now, why is that there? There's a good question. Or why was it missing? The reason is that there are differences in the manuscripts. That's what it's about. Some manuscripts have him there, and some manuscripts have him heading to Jerusalem. Okay? There's good reasons why it's in, and there's good reasons why it's out. But we'll have a look at it in a moment. Basically, what it's saying is that the brothers, Judas and Silas, they come from Jerusalem. They come to see how things were going on in Antioch. They come from Jerusalem. And what happened was that the fellowship had said, thank you for bringing this message of the decision that the Jerusalem church had made. We thank you. We'll send you back with a blessing, right? And so they sent them off. But it would seem that either Silas went there and decided he'd come back, or Silas, when he went out, thought, I don't want to go. I'll stay, right? So one way or another, Silas finishes up back in Antioch. That's the point we're trying to make, because in the next chapter, Silas is back in Antioch. So whether he left or whether he didn't leave doesn't really matter, because he's back there anyway.
Right.
So anyway, there's verse 34 for you. But I would think he probably stayed.
He stayed.
I think the AV bit's right on that one. Yes, because it just helps explain what's going on.
Was there still a famine at that time?
No, not at this point. Not at this point. No.
So Judas and Silas come from Jerusalem.
Yes.
With Paul and Barnabas.
With Paul and Barnabas. As the representatives with the letter, yes.
Right. And
yes.
Then you expect them to go back.
And but Silas thought, I like being here. It's great. Right? And so he stays, yes. Either that, or, as the verse, possibly, as the NIV would suggest, either that, he went back to Jerusalem, put his affairs in order, and thought, I'm going back there. One way or another, he's back in Antioch fairly quickly. Right. Okay, so there we are, next bit then. So, when Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Okay? So here we have, in the church at Antioch, they have a multitude of ministry, don't they? People, it says many others, taught and preached the word of the Lord. God's been raising up some people here.
Revival.
It's good, isn't it? Yes. So God was raising up people to minister the word to each other and bless each other. And so that's what happened. Right, so that went on for a while. And then sometime later, so that gives Silas a chance to go and come back, or for Silas to stay anyway, yes? Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So, he wants to go and see how they're getting on. Why does he want to go and see how they're getting on?
Encourage
He cares about them.
Yeah.
He wants to encourage them. He wants to help them to keep on in the faith, right? Because he knows that there's plenty of things to put cold water on people's faith, particularly when you're young in the faith, right? So he says, let's go back and see how they're doing, see if we can help them and encourage them, right? And he says to Barnabas, let's go and do it, because he and Barnabas have been the ones that have gone there.
Yeah.
Right, so great idea, eh? Right, so look at this then. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Right, you remember John Mark?
Yeah.
Right, John Mark, who is John Mark? He's the nephew, or a cousin, one or two there, a nephew or a cousin of Barnabas. Right, and John Mark, what had John Mark done? It says, Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia, and had not continued with them in the work. So, that's a pretty strong word to say he deserted them, isn't it? He cleared off. For whatever reason, he bottled out, as they use it today, I suppose. So, Barnabas says, let's take John Mark with us. Why?
Refresh him.
Give him another chance. Let's give him a chance. This lad's good. What is it about Barnabas that is remarkable about Barnabas? Not only forgives Barnabas.
He's an encourager.
He's an encourager. He can see potential in people that other people can't. Yeah, and that's why he's an encourager. He can bring out what others don't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Barnabas says, he's a good lad, really. I know he let you down and he's messed up and all that sort of thing, but let's give him another chance. Right. So that's Barnabas' side. And Paul says, no way, Barnabas. Right. Because Barnabas, Paul thinks Barnabas is being a bit biased because he's a relative, I suspect. And he's saying, this is a dangerous work we're on. Remember, I got stoned to death just about. Right? So, we don't want people pulling the carpet from under us while we're out there. Right? So, he says, no, I'm not taking him with us. I don't think it's good for him at the moment. It's not safe. Well, Persian carpets have been around a long time, you know. Anyway, that was metaphorical, you know. Yes. So, here we have two sides. Right, who's right? Both are right.
Yeah.
Both are right. Right? And you can see the negatives. Yeah? Yeah. Barnabas may be sort of just being a bit too favoured to this lad because he's a relative. I don't think he was, but he might have been, yeah? Right? And Paul says, well, it's a dodgy business, this, we can't do that, you know. So you can see both sides. Right? So if you were in that situation, what would you do?
Leave him behind.
Leave him behind.
Christians are supposed to give him the benefit.
No. Give him the benefit. Well,
give him a job to do.
Sorry?
Give him a job to do.
Give him a job to do.
Purpose in going.
Yes. That's a good thing. Between these two guys, remember, these two guys, these Barnabas and Paul, are very, very strong characters. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good to be strong characters. There's nothing wrong with being strong characters, but when the strong characters are rubbing up against each other, what do you need? You need a mediator. You want somebody to come in and say, put a hand on both of them and say, hey guys, look, you've both got good reasons, see what we can do to solve this. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what did they do?
They get someone
who
solved it.
They didn't.
One went the other way, didn't they?
They had a blowout, that's what they had. That's what it says. Yeah. It says, verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company.
Yeah.
Sharp disagreement means they lost it. Yes? Seriously, lost it.
He said, if you want him, fine,
fine. Yes. Right. These are two. Remember now, these are two. Well, Barnabas is called an apostle. Yeah? Right? And Paul's an apostle. These are top notch spiritual men. Right? Aren't they? Top notch spiritual men. And it just shows. They're human like the rest of us.
Amen.
It really does. And this, to my mind, is a wonderful, just accidental proof of how true God's word is. You know, because it doesn't paint his characters in all glory bling.
Yeah.
You know, it shows them as what Oliver Cromwell was going to have a portrait painted of himself, you know, for some reason or other. Someone wanted to do it, yeah? And he told the artist when he was going to paint, he says, paint me, warts and all. Right? I don't want any makeup on this one. It's got to be real, yeah? And that's what the Bible does with the people, isn't it? Warts and all. Barnabas and Paul, they're godly people, good people, and yet they lost it. Well, there's hope for us all then, isn't there? So there you go. This is no, I'm saying this, this isn't put there for an example for you, of course. Yeah. It should be, Paul says later on in some of his letters, these things happen to them that we might learn from them. Not have to repeat what they did. Right, so there we are.
I think we do have to recognise sometimes characters get in the way though, don't
they? They can do, yes.
Yeah.
So there we are, human beings being human beings. Anyway, they got sorted out in the end, I'm sure, but we never hear of Barnabas after this. It says, Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Right. Why did he go to Cyprus, do you think? Do you know?
Because
it's where they started from. Yeah, that's where they started. No, but that's not the reason, I don't think. But, simple question. Where did Barnabas come from?
Greece.
Cyprus. He's going home. For a while. Cool off period or something. He's taking Mark with him. And what does he do with Mark? Well, we don't know. But Mark turns up. We don't hear of Barnabas anymore. Yeah? But we hear of John Mark. John Mark. Paul writes about John Mark later on. He says, bring John Mark with you. He's useful to me. Right? He's finally seen that John Mark could do it, and he's made it, right? That's one of the things. Barnabas did a good job with John Mark. He had enough faith in what God could do in this lad, that this lad achieved his potential. And one of the great things John Mark did for us is?
Right.
Gave us the gospel. Yes, right. We're told he was Peter's compatriot, or he moved around with Peter. So it's Peter's gospel written by John Mark. But so John Mark came good. So Barnabas was right, wasn't he?
Yes.
Right. That's one side. But we never heard of them.
I said they'd have to get it after him.
Yes. Right, so Barnabas goes off with John Mark. What does Paul do as a result? Barnabas says, that's it, we're off. So Barnabas, gone. What do you do?
Get someone else.
Find somebody else. You've got to. Right. So Paul hasn't got much choice in the matter. Here's young Silas. Young Silas. He says, so Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Right. Which direction does he take? He heads towards...
Jerusalem.
No, he's going north. Syria. Going up there, going up to Turkey. Where he was going to go? He doesn't go to Cyprus. No. Barnabas has gone there. Right? Yeah. He goes taking... You remember that map of the area? There's the short route between Turkey and Syria going through that bit. Paul's doing on that route now.
He goes to Antioch.
He goes further up to Lystra and Derbe is where he's heading towards.
Are you sure he did come to England, Derbe?
He's going over there, right? But that's Paul's home territory. Yeah. So he's going home in a sense as well. Right, so Paul goes that way and Barnabas goes that way. What was the bad thing about it was... They parted with bad attitudes, really. That's not good, right? Well, what's the good thing about it? There's more of them. Yeah, as a result of the split, there's two teams going out now. Yeah? So, the Lord works all things for good, even if we botch it up sometimes, yeah? So, out they go, Paul and Silas set off. And this is now what we would call the second missionary journey. That's what it's called, really. So, they set off, before they set off, it says, Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Yeah? And he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, Paul is committed by the church to go on this new journey. Right? Was Barnabas and Mark committed by the church to go on their journey? I don't think they got a chance. They're gone. Right? So, it's the church just says, look, Lord bless you. See how you get on. Trust that the Lord will help you, yes? And he says, they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. What does that tell you?
That they went to see how they were going.
Where did these churches from Syria and Cilicia come from?
Them.
No, it wasn't them. That wasn't part of their missionary journey.
Spreading down as well, where they'd been.
Wait, the word is spreading. In the areas where there's several years gone by, remember, the church in Antioch isn't just sending out missionaries like Paul and Barnabas and Silas, it's doing its own job. It's spreading around. Okay? So the church is all over the place. Revival, as you said.
It says in verse 35, and the others taught and preached.
Yes, so they've got pastors. 20 capable people of sharing God's word. Yeah. So the word's spreading, and Paul and Barnabas, they may not have established, or Paul and Silas, they wouldn't have established these churches, but what do? They go along strengthening them. How do they strengthen them? Building project?
Preaching.
Give them more words.
They give them more scriptures. They give them more encouragement. They give them more experience of what God's done in their lives and what He can do.
Showing that they care about them and building them up.
Right.
They're equivalent about their guest speakers.
Yes. That's right, yeah. So strengthening means they're encouraging these people to say, yes, we're on the right road. We're going on with Jesus, right? So
that's scripture in Revelation, who defeat the devil by the word of the testimony.
That's what they're doing, yeah. So they're encouraging these churches, and so that's their job while they're on the road, right? So he goes through the short route to get to Derbe, right? They came to Derbe and then to Lystra, right? Derbe was the last place they'd want to. They'd been there. Then Lystra is the next one down the road, a few miles down the road, yeah. And when they got there, this is in Turkey now, by the way, when they got there, it says, there was a disciple named Timothy lived there, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Right, so he meets this young lad, well spoken of by the churches in the area, a guy called Timothy. Young fellow called Timothy. We've heard of Timothy, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's a young lad, right? And we're told a few things about him. His mother was a Messianic Jew. Yes, she was a Jewish Christian, a Jewish believer.
Mm.
Yeah, his grandmother was. Right, and this is what since several years since Paul has been there. So you know that's things have gone on. And it talks about Timothy. He's become a Christian, and we read about Timothy. Paul writes about him. He writes some letters to him later on. He says, you know how your mother taught you the scriptures from so high.
Yeah.
Right? He was brought up on Bible milk. Yeah. So he had a good foundation. That was wonderful. Timothy, interesting chap. What does he say about him? The churches in the area spoke well of him. So he has a good reputation with the churches. And obviously it shows you that the churches in the area weren't saying, this is our patch, you keep out. They were sort of interrelating and having fellowship with each other and so on, yeah. So the churches in the area where Timothy was really think this is a lad with potential. And Paul sees him, and what does Paul think about him? If you know the story. He wants to take him with him. But if you know the story later on, what relationship does Paul develop with Timothy? He's a father figure to him. Yeah, it's almost like he's got an adopted son. Timothy becomes effectively Paul's son in the work. Right? They clicked. There's something between them that the Lord had sort of prepared them for, so that they could work together. Because the thing is, Timothy is going to follow from Paul in the work. When Paul's gone, Timothy gets the Lord. Right, so he's sort of his apprentice as well, in that sense, yeah? So these two click, right? And the interesting thing about Timothy, something else, is that I read this, it's rather interesting. Paul, in his background, has a knowledge of the Roman and the Greek languages, the Roman and Greek cultures, because he was brought up in Tarsus, a very important Roman colony, but he was Jewish to the core. So Paul in himself combines the Greek and the Jew in his understanding. Right? So he's able to speak to Greeks and to Jews, communicate with them, right? Timothy has it in his genes. Yeah? Timothy's got a Greek dad and a Jewish mum.
Yeah.
Right? So Timothy is the sort of ideal link man as well in some ways. Just one problem. One problem.
He wasn't circumcised.
Why not?
Because he had a Greek dad.
He had a Greek dad, and he said, I'm not bothered about that, waste of time, no, forget it, yeah. I suspect that's probably part of it, yes. So.
I'm surprised, but that in a way shows Paul's because later on in the letters he says, you know, you don't have to partake of these traditions.
No.
But there, he was feeling that...
No, he wasn't. No.
I think he did it so that he could, it would be easier to give the message towards Jews, wouldn't it?
Right. But remember what we were talking about last time, that the big decision that was made with the churches together in Jerusalem, the Antioch Church and the Jerusalem Church, came to the decision, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, you don't have to be a Jew to be a saved person. Right? That's what I said, remember?
Yes.
That was the message. You don't have to become a Jew in order to believe in the God of the Israelites, of the Jews, right?
Right.
You can be saved through faith in their Messiah. Mm. Right? And I said, if you remember at the end, I think we should have another Jerusalem conference, because what the church has done is it says, you don't have to be a Jew to be a believer. What the church has done is it's saying, if you want to be a believer, stop being a Jew. And that's not true.
No.
And Paul in Romans goes to a great deal of length to say the Jews have got it as much as the Gentiles, because it's their Messiah and they trust in him. They come in as well. Right? Now, Timothy is an interesting case here, because Timothy, it says, the Bible says about him, Paul circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So what's Paul doing? He's making him a proper Jew. He is a Jew, because he's got a Jewish mother. Yeah?
And he knows the Torah.
And he knows it all, yes, yeah. He's Jewish. Things changed at some point in time. Originally, you were Jewish if you had a Jewish father. But something happened in the history of the Jews where it said that you're a Jew if you've got a Jewish mother. And that's the way it is today. Right? And that was the case here. Right? So Timothy has a Jewish mother, he's Jewish, but all the Jews all around know he isn't a proper Jew. Right? And if you're going to minister to Jews, you've got to go out of your way not to upset them, particularly on this really important issue. What they could, because Timothy could, if Timothy goes along as an uncircumcised Jew, he says, I'm denying your heritage, your faith, or your background, you know, it's not important. Well, it is important to the Jews. It's not salvation. Right? But if you want to reach people, you've got to get on their side.
I'd like to know how they knew.
Sorry?
Yes, how would they know that he wasn't saved?
She was a child in the area.
Well, word gets around, apparently. They knew.
He'd been brought up with the other children.
Yeah.
Because circumcision was actually done by the father, wasn't it?
Not the rabbi, usually, the local rabbi.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How did they know? I don't know, but they did. Word gets around, doesn't it? So they knew he wasn't a proper Jew. Right? Now then, this is really important, this, because it sort of illustrates that whole issue of the Jerusalem Council. Paul had Timothy circumcised, right? Because Timothy was a Jew. Paul teamed up with another guy called Titus. Titus was Gentile through and through. And he didn't circumcise Titus. Because he's saying this is a gospel issue. Salvation is through faith in Messiah. Gentiles, okay. Jews, carry on being Jews. Yeah? So for Timothy, in order for him to be able to minister among the Jews, he's got to do it. Right? So Paul gets him alongside. Is that alright?
Yeah.
Good. Right. So.
They should have done it to everybody.
No. This is the way it works, you see.
I still think it's pretty hard.
Do you think it's what? Harsh?
Yeah, I'm not sure about it really. I mean, could they have given a teaching lesson in that it's not by outward appearances anyway? Do you believe with your heart?
Of course it is. But if you're a practicing Jew, you practice what the Jews have been taught, don't you?
Yeah, but he's denying his father's Greekness as well.
Well, not really. I mean, he's got his father's genes in him, but he's denying his father's religion. His father may well have been one of these proselytes, not becoming a genuine Jew, but actually what we would call a Gentile at the gate sort of thing. A believer. I suspect he was a believer, but he probably died. His dad's probably gone by now. We don't hear anything about him.
He's got to teach in the synagogue.
Yeah.
So he needs to be.
Yeah. He's got to be kosher.
Yeah.
Sorry? A passport, yes. Okay, yeah. So Paul's being very wise here, I think, really. He's saying, look, this isn't the salvation, but we can be flexible. We can be flexible. So here it is, Timothy, if you're going to minister to the Jewish communities as well as to the Gentiles, they will know you're not genuine, right? So that they need to know that he is, right? Okay. So they all knew his father was a Greek, so that's what they've come to the conclusion. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Right? Sorry, yes?
Jerusalem
is
still sending out decrees?
No, it's that one message that they have, that letter. It's that letter. The letter that says Gentiles can become believers. Remember, it was give and take. Chapter 15 is really central. Give and take is the Gentiles were not to eat stuff strangled or blood, no. Right? Or abstain from immorality, right? And what was the other murders sort of things, yeah? Okay, so all of those things the Gentiles have got to obey. Right? Not that they'd have any problem obeying those, because it's decent humanity. You don't go around killing people. But the other side of it is, you don't go around offending the Jews. If you want to offend them, go start eating some black pudding in front of them. That'll really give them a hard time, won't it? Yeah? Mm. Yeah? So, I know, but there you are. That's how it goes. So, the church said, Jews, you've got to let go of the fact that all this Sabbath keeping, circumcision, all of those things are not going to get you saved. They're okay, if you want to be a Jew, live like a Jew, go for it, yes? Right? But they're not going to get you saved, it's through faith in the Messiah. That was the Jewish concession. The Gentile concession is, we don't go around offending our brothers and sisters by needless being awkward and bullshy, right? So that was the way it worked. So it's a give and take thing in this church, so that they both got on fine together. Wonderful.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Right, so what happens is that they go around to the different churches, the apostles, to give them the decisions that were reached by the leadership in Jerusalem, so that the people were to obey them. Right? Isn't that interesting? Right? How about this? How many times have you heard people say, we're not under law, brothers, we're under grace? What does it mean?
It means...
What do they mean? No, what does it mean? No, what it means. What do they mean? I'm not under law, brother, I'm under grace.
I can do what I like.
Yeah. Right? You can do what you like. These were given for them to obey. Obey means you do it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
All right.
Right? As long as we know where we're at. Right. Okay. For them to obey. And as a result, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. That's revival.
Amen.
Right. They're growing in the knowledge and grace of God, but they're reaching out to people round about, so there's loads of people coming in into the family. Substantially Gentile now, in these areas, of course, yeah? So, great. Things are doing well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right? One more thing that's really interesting, and this is a lovely little comment I read in a commentary. Where did Paul find Timothy? Not what street or what house, which town?
Lystra, was it?
In Lystra. Yes, he found Timothy in Lystra. Whether Timothy lived in Lystra or not, that's where he found him, yes? Mm-hmm. And what's significant about Lystra for Paul?
He was
stoned to death there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just about. Well, I think he was stoned to death.
Yeah.
Now, the comment the man makes is, isn't it interesting that in the places of the hardest spots, some of the greatest fruit are grown?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And the man that's going to be the next leader of the church, under Paul in that sense, you know, he's not a leader of the church, he's just one of God's special agents in that sense. Yeah. The man that's going to be there comes from the place where they tried to bump Paul off. Mm-hmm. God has his ways, yeah? So the greatest fruit for Paul, in the sense of having a companion, a son in the faith. He calls him his son in the faith. Yeah. It's here where it was the hardest place for him. So don't get discouraged when you're in a hard spot. God might be growing some special fruit.
Yeah.
You never know, do you?
I heard there's no fruit on the mountaintops. They grow in the valleys.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did you pinch that off somebody?
Yeah.
That's good though, I like it. Yes. Right, next then please. Verse 6. Paul and his companions travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept from the, by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So Paul wanted to go up there, but he's forced to go westwards. So he goes through Phrygia and Galatia. He's going west. That's the interesting thing, yeah? And he says he was kept by the Holy Spirit from going to preach in Asia, in the province of Asia. Yeah? How did the Holy Spirit keep him? Stop him?
No,
I don't think he did in this instance.
Shut the roads off.
Well, in the letter to the Galatians, Paul tells us why he went to Galatia.
He was ill. Yeah.
Yes, it was by reason of an illness. He says, I came to preach the word to you. You'd have plugged your eyes out for me. He obviously had some real problem there, health-wise. It was because he was ill, he went to Galatia. Isn't that interesting? Do you think the Holy Spirit might use you when you're ill?
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah? So he guided him through circumstances. Right? That's one. And we're looking at this little section is really about how the Holy Spirit guides you. He can use circumstances. Things you might not choose. Situations you won't like. But he can use them to guide you. And the interesting thing is also, and I pinched this one, God does not guide an aeroplane on the runway. Yeah? He only guides you when he's flying. You're moving, he can guide you. Right? So they're moving, and what happens is they go into Galatia, right? And then we find, it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Right? So they thought, ooh, that's a good place, Bithynia. They need the gospel. Let's go there. Right? And what happened?
It's passed on.
Well, God said no. Somehow the Spirit said no. Yeah, you don't go there.
I've experienced that because years ago I was looking, Terry lost the kids, but I went walking up road and all of a sudden the Spirit said go home.
Right.
And I couldn't move. I couldn't get one foot in front of me. I had to go back.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but it's absolutely weird.
Well, no, that's good because that's how God works. Were you going to say it for you?
Yeah, absolutely the same.
Right. So, we're looking at how the Spirit guides. There are times when he just puts a strong impression on you saying, you've got to do this. Right? I think that's what happened there. One thing I find is really important, brothers and sisters, and it should encourage you, right? Paul and Silas wanted to go and preach the gospel in Bithynia. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Of course it is, right? So, when they start going and heading towards Bithynia, the Spirit says, no! Right? Now, if you are a fragile person, you say, oh, I've got it wrong, I've messed it up, Lord. Right? No. I don't hear Paul and Silas saying, we've got it wrong, Lord. They're just saying, well, Lord, okay, that's not what you want, we'll try this. Yeah? There's a maturity about how they follow the leading of the Spirit. Often, you know, people can be sort of pressurised into saying, if you don't get the guidance right in the first instance, then you're such a pathetic Christian, you're useless. That's not what it's about.
No.
The Spirit can lead us by saying no sometimes, and he's not knocking you down. He's getting you moving in a different direction. That's all he's doing. But what about the Bithynians? Poor souls.
Yeah,
nobody's going to tell them the gospel, is there?
Somebody's
going there.
Yeah.
How do I know the Bithynians got the gospel?
I know
the Bithynians got the gospel. If you go to Peter's letter, right, go to Peter. It's later on in the New Testament.
What is it, 1 or 2?
I think it's 1. We'll find out when we get there. Yes, chapter 1. Right, to God's elect, strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. How about that? So Peter is writing to Christians in Bithynia. So somebody got there with a message. Lesson number 2 from this guidance by the Spirit. Just because you don't do it doesn't mean you say God isn't going to do it with somebody else.
Yeah. Don't put yourself on the pedestal.
Right, so God's at work.
When you read these, and they're on route, I mean, there's no street signs, there's no road map.
No.
But, I mean, would they like, turn up at this town and say, what's ahead of us?
I don't know. They may have had some idea of locality and geography, I suspect. People did. The Romans had built roads, so they knew. They got their sort of road signs 20 miles down the road to wherever else, you know.
Oh, yeah.
North. Yes?
Because God really wants Paul to go to the Gentiles.
Yes, but these are Gentiles as well. Right? He does want Paul to go to the Gentiles, which is really important, as we'll see. But there's something really marvellous working out here. So, we've had the Holy Spirit guiding them through Paul being ill. We've had the Holy Spirit guiding them through that really sense, we think, of the Spirit saying, not this way, this way. Right? Next then, we get to it, it says, as they travelled, lost my place, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Troas. Where's Troas? You've got a map. It's called Troy. It's the old Greek word for the old Greek place called Troy.
Oh.
Yeah? Yes, that's where it's called Troas in the New Testament times.
Yeah.
Right. Where is it? It's on the coast. It's on the coast of Turkey. Right? Yeah? So God stopped them going north. There's not much to go for in the south. They've been in the east. There's only one direction, and that's the sea.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy, isn't it? Well, they're off on the boat, it would seem, yes. So, God's got them to this spot where, you know, looks a bit odd. So, what happens is, during the night, we're going to have to stop after this, dear friends, we can't tell you what happens after this. Right? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Wow.
Now, there's some very interesting bits in this verse, right? One more way that God can guide you by the Spirit is, gives you a vision, dream, right? And it's not just because he's had something on for tea, right? This is a vision from God. Right, and he gets this message, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, do you know which direction Macedonia is? It's west. It's across the water. It's in Greece. It's not only in Greece, it's in Europe. The gospel's moving to a new continent. All because of God guiding him through illness, through a message, and then through a vision. Yes, and they get this point, that they get to the place, come over to Macedonia and help us. They saw a vision of a man from Macedonia. Interesting thing about this is, when he gets to Macedonia, who does he meet? I'll let you have this one as a little foretaste. Right? The man from Macedonia is a woman.
Lydia.
Ah! Right. But, I offer you this as a little thought, the man from Macedonia might be, well, just look at that verse. What's changed in that verse? It says, in the verses before, this happened to Paul, that happened to Paul, and then it says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once and to leave for Macedonia. We got ready at once. We haven't had a we before. Who's the we?
That's Timothy.
Not Timothy. Timothy's Silas. Joined him already.
Silas.
It's not Silas. Silas was with him. It's Luke. Luke, the guy that writes the story. He's got himself in the story at this point. Luke, it's the first time we have a we, right? And he says, we decided to go. I wonder where Luke joined them.
Was Luke a doctor?
He was.
When he was ill.
Oh, well, we might have ministered to Paul with that. Pray for him as well, I suspect, yeah. But where did he meet? I don't know. But I'm guessing.
Troy.
I think he met him at Troy. I think he's the man from Macedonia saying, this is where we should be going. The only reason I suggest that is when Peter had his vision, remember, Peter had his vision about the cloths coming down and the animals on it. That was the vision. And then, to confirm the vision, he had a guy, or several guys, turn up at the door knocking, we want you down here, please, right? I suspect Luke is the physical confirmation of the vision, we're heading for Macedonia. Yeah, that's, I'm guessing. But Luke's in on it now, definitely. Right, so he says, we have concluded that we're heading to Europe, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's a good confirmation, isn't it? Let me ask you, and we'll stop here, do you think they're going to be successful when God's called them to go to Macedonia?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Next question. Do you think it's going to be easy?
No.
Ah, you know the story, eh? Well, we'll stop there. Right.
That's that time when I said God stopped me in my tracks. I hadn't found the children.
No.
And I had to go home. Yeah. And all the time I would say, what am I going to say to them, you know? And as I got there, a friend's car pulled up and they were in the back of the car.
Wonderful.
So it was
just
fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
God knows what He's doing just as well, because we don't so often. Let's pray then, eh? Thank the Lord, yeah. Father, thank you for your guidance. Thank you, Lord, that we've looked at some very godly men showing their human side in a very sad way. Lord, we know that you forgave them and you bless them and help them as they want to move on. Lord, it's often in these situations you can't say one's right and the other's wrong. There are things on both sides, Lord, and we know that that's often the case. Lord, we pray, Lord, for us, that you help us to be gracious in our dealings with others, Lord, when we hold things in a strong and firm opinion, Lord. Lord, just to be able to sort of back off and see other people's views as well, Lord, and seek your mind and your will in these things, Lord. We just bless you that you do guide and help us, Lord, to know your direction in our lives, Lord. And thank you, Holy Spirit. When you say no, we don't need to feel downcast and depressed, Lord, because it's just you guiding us, Lord, and that's good, and we thank you for it. So we just bless you, Lord, that you have good plans and good purposes. We praise you for what you did in bringing the gospel to Europe. It got to us as a result of that, Lord, and we say
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
What did he happen to him?
Well, he sort of mentored Mark and did a few. Let me put it this way. We don't hear anything about Peter. We don't hear anything about all the other apostles. All we hear is about Luke, because Luke was being. All we hear is about Paul, because Luke is telling Paul's story. Right? He could have told Barnabas' story. We'd have another book. He could have told Peter's story, we'd have another one. But he selected
that.
Didn't go off the road. Yeah. No, I certainly didn't.
Perhaps God wanted to deal with Paul and Barnabas separately.
Yes, he did, yes.
And to knock the edges off the pair of them.
Yeah.
But
well, yes, but also I think there's something else about this. Barnabas, in a sense, had been the father figure for Paul.
Yeah.
It was Barnabas that introduced Paul to the rest of the church.
Mm.
When everybody else was scared stiff of him, Barnabas saw the potential and welcomed him. Right? Mm. And so in a sense, once Barnabas had done his job, God moved him away to do another job of a similar kind with another lad who was considered not worth it.
That's very difficult with people who are teachers, because sometimes they just don't know when to let go.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, Barnabas was saying that, Mark had got potential.
Yes, yeah.
And Paul, because he was teaching as well, couldn't see it.
No. Perhaps he could see he's got potential, but he could see the risks.
Yeah. Mm.
And that, I mean, in the situation they were going into, it's a very difficult one to call about what chances you take with somebody who's not proved too careful in the first place. I think what happened to John Mark, I think Barnabas saw, he said, look, I know he blew it, he knows he blew it, but he is going to learn from this, and he's going to be stronger because of what he's been through, and be more determined to go. And in a way, I think Paul's rejection might have spurred John Mark on with help and encouragement from others. But when someone gives you grief, you say, well, I'll show them, I'll do it. Right? That might have been part of John Mark's response.
If you stay working with your teacher, you'll always look to him.
Yeah. It's not growing, yes.
Yeah.
So, all change. Things always change. Yeah.